This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Yeah. Amen. You know, there's a popular saying, they say the best is yet to come. May you never know a better yesterday. Because if you are referring to good old days, it means you are not in those days anymore. You know, I remember the good old days. It means that individual's better days have passed them by. I say the best is yet to come. The Lord will surprise you. I want you to lift up both hands to heaven tonight. And I want you to rejoice with me tonight. I want us to magnify the Lord for his goodness, for his faithfulness, for his kindness. He has been God and he remains God. The great provider. The one that meets our needs, both spiritual, physical, according to his riches in glory, through Christ Jesus. Exalt him, exalt him, exalt him. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is God. He is good. He is kind. Beautiful for every situation. Hallelujah, we glorify your name. King of kings, Lord of lords. The I am that I am, the one who was, the one who is, the one that will be forevermore. We praise you. We praise you. We adore you. We adore you. We adore you. Lord, we thank you because, Lord, you have not allowed the desires of the enemy to come to pass in our lives. But, Lord, you have done us well and we glorify your name. In our homes, in our marriages, in your church, in our business, in our job, upon our wives, upon our husbands, upon our children. Lord, you have been good. Who is like unto you? Who can compare unto you? In our academic pursuit, Lord, you have been good. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we adore you. Lord, we magnify your name. Glory and honor, dominion and power be unto you, O God. The God that faileth not, the one who was, the one who is, the one that will be forevermore. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, blessed Redeemer. In Jesus' precious name, we have given thanks. Brethren, I had a sermon that changed my life and saved my life about 8 years ago. And the sermon title, I still remember, it said, "Why We Don't Give Thanks." It broke me down. And I wept, and the course of my life changed. And it's, the preacher said, one of the reasons we don't give thanks is because our memory is short. We have very short memory. We are always thinking of the here and now. We forget about the yesterday, the great and mighty things God did. We always remember the things we have asked and we have not received an answer. We always forget the ones we asked and we got an answer. Amen? I want you to lift up both hands to God tonight. Say, Lord, for all that you have done, I am grateful. But for those that you are working out, I thank you. Lord, even for those that you said no, I thank you. Because, Lord, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the one that knows the beginning from the end, and it knows the end from the beginning. You know all things. So when you say no, it is for a purpose. I thank you. I praise you. Lord Jehovah, we thank you for 12 years of your church, of the existence of your church. Thank you for your great wonders that you have done in 12 years. Lord, we magnify your name. Lord, we glorify your name. We acknowledge that you are the one that is at work in us, both to will and to do of your own good pleasure. We give you praise. We give you glory. We worship you tonight. For all that you have done, we are grateful. For all that you are doing, Lord, we say thank you. For all that you will yet do, Lord, we say thank you. We bless your name. We glorify your name. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, tonight, above all else, we want to say thank you. Lord, of a truth, you are a good God. Of a truth, you have been faithful. And Lord, tonight we just want to return all the glory, all the praise, dominion and power unto you, O God, because you alone are worthy. Blessed be your name forever. For in Jesus' precious name, we have given thanks. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Well, I didn't say somebody say hallelujah. If I wanted us to say hallelujah, I said let us say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's shout hallelujah this time.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may please be seated. The Lord bless you. You may please be seated. I want to welcome everyone tonight. And this is our first festival. Let's put our hands together for the choir. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Pastor Folake, God bless you. Amen. I want to welcome everyone to the first edition of the Zonal Festival of Life this year. And I know tonight you will be blessed. I know you can't, there's no way you will not go home better than you came. In the name of Jesus. It's impossible to encounter God and remain the same. Tonight, especially, we have in our midst our provincial pastor. I'll do a proper and full detailed introduction later on before he comes on to speak because my time is running out. But there's no way I can start and not acknowledge the fact that my boss is here seated. Praise the Lord. You know, he's someone that I've watched and admired from a distance for many years. I think I actually shared this with him when they were doing a new administrative structure and the provincial thing came, they created the region. You know, I was kind of hoping and wishing that my wife and I, you know, we were hoping and wishing that he would be our provincial pastor. But he was not. We're a bit disappointed, but we said, well, God knows best. You know, but how many of us know that the fact that God does not answer now does not mean God will never answer? And the fact that God does not answer when you asked does not mean you have been denied. Because one day he just picked up the phone and he called me and said, Pastor Koye, I don't know if you have heard, but this is the development. You are now in my province. I said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In all things, we give thanks. And I really appreciate God for his life and for our provincial mommy. You are welcome. Praise the Lord. You know, tonight, as you can see, you know, my heart is just full of gratitude for all that God has done. I give God all of the glory. The journey of the past 12 years has had twists and turns to it. But through the twists and the turns and the ups and the downs and the highs and the lows, God has remained God. You know, there's so many things that could have happened that did not happen. And there are so many things that happened that were never planned for. Amen? Good things. You didn't pray for it. You didn't ask for it. But it just was bestowed upon you. And it's important that we are careful to give thanks to God. You know, the journey of Salvation Center started 12 years ago, and it was a total faith project. It still amazes me till today how a pastor will receive a revelation to start a church in a city other than his city and will not have a pastor for the new church that God has said plant, and will go ahead and go plant the church. And by the order of heaven, the one that God had the mind to pastor the church will know about the new church the night before the new church started. It all sounds like parable, but you know the details of the story. You know, and to the glory of God, that faith project has blossomed. It has blossomed. Tonight, you know, the first church that God will use this faith project to plant, our first fruit, immediately it started, we handed it over. We sowed our first fruit. Immediately. Pastor Siwa will remember. He drove with Brother Alex. Go to see Brother Alex tonight. Him and Brother Alex drove. And there was an incident of 100 miles an hour and all of these things. But they were the drivers, so they took care of it. You know, but that church is thriving. As soon as we planted and sowed that church, God came through for us. Today, we have Grace Pavilion, we have Restoration, we have House of Grace in the making, we have Jesus Embassy, Trinity Chapel, we have Dominion Chapel, we have Power Center. Where is it recording from? Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. And we have Household of Faith. We have Household of Faith. And we have Carrizo Springs in the making. That singular faith project is altogether 11 churches today. To the glory of God. To the glory of God. Tonight, I just want to encourage us very shortly. Our main speaker tonight is our provincial pastor. Please open your Bibles with me to Jeremiah chapter 9, and we're going to read from verses 23 and 24. Jeremiah chapter 9, 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Verse 24. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things, in what things? Loving kindness, judgment, righteousness, the understanding and the knowledge of these attributes of God. He says, in these things I delight, saith the Lord. If you are the type that likes title, you can title it Glory in This. Glory in This. There are many synonyms for glory. Glory can be credit. So when we say give glory to God, we are saying credit God with the honor and everything that is due him. Glory is also described as magnificence, beauty. As a matter of fact, the word kabod that is translated glory in the scripture, the literal meaning of it is weight. The Bible talks about the weight of glory. Glory in this. When you talk of glory, you are talking about splendor, brilliance, and grandeur. But the Bible says, let the rich not glory in his riches. Let the strong not glory in his strength, nor in his might. He said, but you can glory in certain things. I said, and he that glorieth, he that must have glory of any sort, let him glory in this. Let me quickly show you a few scriptures about what the Bible says about glory, and then we'll come back to the discourse for tonight. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. The Bible says, I am the Lord. That is my name. I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory I will not give to another. It means God is particular about his glory. Many people have run foul of God because they wanted the glory of God. Look, if glory is magnificence, if glory is beauty, something has to be wrong with the individual that does not want glory. I mean, glory is beauty. Amen? In some cultures, when they say, that thing is heavy, that thing is, it has weight, they mean it's really good. If it's light, I remember somebody once told me that this pulpit is too simple. It doesn't have shakara. It's not heavy. It's not heavy. Glory is beauty. Glory is beauty. That is why we desire glory. But God says, I am the Lord. That is my name. And I will not share my glory with any. So anyone that desires or tries, attempts to take God's glory is running contrary to God. Psalm 115 and verse 1. Psalm 115 and verse 1. He said, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us. This is the psalmist writing here. He said, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. What is the psalmist saying? He said, Lord, I have recognized that this glory is not for us. It's for what? For who? For you. He said, not unto you, not unto us, but unto you, O Lord. Only God deserves our glory. Even in our Lord's Prayer, the Lord Jesus told that he taught the disciples in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. It says this, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and what? And the glory. There's a reason we sing, we give you glory, Lord, as we honor you. There's a reason we say that. Because he deserves the glory. He deserves the glory. I want us to read a text that I'm very sure we are familiar with from Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We'll just tie this together very quickly and we're going to pray. Mark chapter 10 from verse 46 to 52. And I read, say, and they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side, begging. Two things I want you to note there. A great number of people and a particular person, blind Bartimaeus. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But guess what? He cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called him. They called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise. He called thee. You see, the same people that are shouting you down, if you know what you have heard and you persist, they will praise you later. You know, he said, when they said to him, be of good cheer, be of good comfort, what they were really doing, they were giving her, oh, Bati, the master is calling you now. He said, oh, Bati, please come. The master is calling you. They were saying, oh, shh. That's what they were telling him a minute ago. They were hushing him. They were hushing him. Can I tell you something today? What is called vision, if you have a vision that is of God, if people are fighting you, don't fight them. You know why? They are not fighting you because they hate you. If it is vision, you are the one that is seeing it, the rest of them are not seeing it. The example I gave a couple of young guys yesterday was this. Back in the day when they were still struggling to make the motor car a very drivable and comfortable thing, two brothers came, the Wright brothers, and they said, we're going to make a car that can fly. It was a vision. It was something they saw in their heart. Everybody that had it thought they were crazy. Why? Because what they were saying, nobody else was saying it. But people get into arguments and fights over something they need not fight over. If you have a vision and you share it and they can't get it, it's because they can't see what you're seeing. So keep on seeing and keep on praying. That was extra. It's not part of this. But let's move on. Verse 50. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Verse 52 and the last verse for tonight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received the sight and followed Jesus in the way. Brethren, very quickly, I want to show you some distinct features in the life of Bartimaeus as it relates to glory in this. Jesus, the Bible tells us in our text, Jeremiah chapter 9, 23 and 24, it says, if you must glory at all, glory in the knowledge of me and the understanding of me. One other thing that I've seen about life is any deficit of information you have, your brain will make up for it. Something happened 5 years ago. You remembered vaguely, but you begin to tell the whole story. You paint the whole picture. When the people that still, if it was a video recording and you told the story to somebody else and they played the video back, they will look at you and say, how could you have said that was what happened? You know why? Every deficit of information, your brain will add fillers to it. People tell stories, they are not really lying. Their brain just made up stuff. Have you heard something? You were a witness to the situation, and then they are talking about it in your dreams. That didn't happen. Only in your dreams did that happen, because I was there. What you have just reported is not what happened. Our brain will make up for information that we are missing. Friends, the knowledge of God is the beginning of life itself. That is why the Bible says, a fool has said in his heart that there is no God. When you begin to live is when you begin to know God. He said, if you must glory at all, you must glory in your knowledge of God, not in stuff, not in money, not in position, not in title. Because the lack of knowledge of God will cause people to suffer and suffer greatly. The man Bartimaeus had suffered blindness and was a beggar for many years until he caught a revelation. May you catch a revelation tonight. He caught a revelation. Number one, he was tired of his situation. He was tired of darkness. He was tired of begging. He was tired of suffering. And number two, because of his tiredness, he cried out to Jesus. I pray that somebody will cry unto Jesus tonight. Because unless you are tired of your situation, nobody is going to do anything about it. If you are not complaining about your car, why should I change your car for you? After you talk about it so beautifully. He said, when it's going, you see the smoke of glory. Amen. If you like it, why will anybody want to change it? If you, number one, they don't want to offend you, so they are not going to change it. He cried out to Jesus. But guess what he cried? He did not cry, Jesus, thou son of Joseph. He did not cry out, Jesus, thou son of Mary. He said, Jesus, thou son of David. That knowledge, that recognition transformed his situation. What many of us are suffering today, what you need is a knowledge. Somebody say knowledge. He said, glory in this. Don't glory in the best, the new suit you just bought. Because that suit you are bragging about, somebody has better. In fact, they are just laughing at you as you are bragging. So even the suit is crooked on the side. Brethren, God desires for us to know him. God wants to make himself known to us. The Spirit came off and on them in the Old Testament. God was not satisfied with that. He sent his only begotten Son. He revealed himself in totality in his only begotten Son. And he made sure that everything was documented. And now, when Jesus went, the Holy Spirit came fully. He's not coming and going. He's fully present with us. You know why? Because God wants us to know him. He wants us to know him. And in that knowledge is where you will find liberty. In that knowledge is where you will find freedom. In that knowledge is where everything compounds. Is where everything compounds. That is why Apostle Paul, after everything he had been through, can still say in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. That I may know him. That he said, all I want is that what? That I may know him. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, towards the end of his life, from that prison in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he did not come out, he died. And he knew the end was coming, because in that 2 Timothy also, he was saying, he said, I have finished my course, I have run the race, I have finished my course. He said, the only thing remaining for me now is my crown of glory, the crown of life. He knew he had come to the end of the journey, but guess what? In chapter 4, he said, bring me the parchment. I want to know more. I want to learn more. The problem, one of the biggest problems of the church today, is the only time people read their Bible is when they come to church and they say, let us open to Mark chapter 10 from verse 46 to 52. Until the next time, nothing more. You will never know God like that. It's not a curse. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. So there is a studying to it. You know, there's a reading and there's a studying. God is eager to make himself known to us. God is not like some hidden treasure that you are looking for that is lost. God is not lost. So I found Jesus. No, he found you. He was never lost. You were the one that was lost. So I found Jesus, as though Jesus was lost. He wants to make himself known to you. How many of us desire to know him tonight? I want us to rise to our feet and just bow your heads and talk to him. I only have about a few seconds left. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I surrender myself to you tonight. Lord, every encumbrance, every difficulty, every challenge that I've put in my own way, or that others have put in my way of knowing you, Lord, I release myself from them tonight by the blood of Jesus. Why don't you pray to God that everything that is covering your face, everything covering your eyes, preventing you from knowing this God, every love of life, every love for stuff, everything, the lust of life, the pride of life, everything that is an encumbrance for you, that is in your way of knowing him. Why don't you pray to him tonight? Say, Lord, I want to know you, that I may know you, that I may know you. The only thing the Lord wants us to brag about, the one sure thing, he says, you can brag on this. He says, is your understanding and knowledge of me. Say, Lord, that I may know you, that I may know you, understand you, understand, know your word in the name of Jesus. That I may know you, Lord, that I may know you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you tonight. Jehovah, I give you praise. I give you glory. I give you honor. I give you adoration. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, that Lord, that you will make yourself known unto us. That they please open our eyes of understanding. Lord, your word says, if this gospel be hid, it is hidden from those that the God of this world have blinded their eyes. Lord, not only the gospel, if we cannot know you, we cannot see you. Lord, then life is really not worth living. Therefore, Lord, I pray, every cast that is over your people, every cast that is over every life under the sound of my voice tonight, Lord, let every curse be broken. Let every curse be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Lord, from tonight, let us begin to see clearly. Let us begin to know you and understand you clearly in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, for in Jesus' precious name I have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.